I'm Hannah Coe Footman.
I'm Catherine Orchard.
And I'm Hannah van der Vesthuizen.
And we are the Fat Boy Podcast! Oh, yes, we are!
We are. Welcome to the final episode for now of the Fuckboy Podcast.
In this episode, we will be battling each other not only for who the worst fuckboy is, but battling about the very nature of what makes a fuckboy tick.
Will it be their legacy, their villainy, or simply their actions? Stay tuned to find out. Before we battle, how are we all?
Oh my god, guys, it's our last episode.
I know. Wild. How things have changed, how far we've come. Oh, and all our lovely, lovely listeners. Oh.
I know, we love you guys so much. Thank you so much for hanging in with us since day one. Mm.
You wonderful folk, we appreciate you more than we can say.
Yeah, we love you.
So when did we start this podcast? I'd argue we started it back in 2020 when we were in lockdown and we were...
Beginning of 2020 as well.
Yeah, FaceTiming each other every Thursday or something.
Yes.
And Hannah, you were like, let's write a fuckboy book.
Yeah, then... after all my traumatic dating experiences, let's cash in on that puppy.
And then we did it and now we have a podcast.
Gosh. Yeah. 2 years. Two long years. And so much has changed.
And how many fuckers we've dated in that meantime. I mean, astounding.
Genuinely remarkable.
Yeah, really good number. Graph.
You wouldn't believe.
So much research.
Dedicated to the pod.
All for you.
I'm so excited, though, to go through today and comb through the worst of the worst and the best of the best.
Yeah.
I know. Trip down memory lane.
Indeed. Yes.
Swimming back down.
We don't know who each other are doing, right?
No. So...
Oh, yeah, no. Yes, no.
Yes, absolutely not. So we're basically looking back at the fuckboys of future past, but just past. And we are going to make our cases for why within these categories of fuck girl, wild card, so that can be any category that we want, and then ultimate fuck boy, who we think gets the crown. And then we would love if you could let us know who you think wins with the best fuck boy team.
And none of us here are competitive, so it's
not competitive
at all. Big deal. I love how we've all prepared so differently. I have deeply underprepared in case I lose and then my ego won't be shattered.
I have deeply overprepared because I can't not write an essay every time I do a fucking podcast episode.
And then I've gone slap bang in the middle with short, sweet, effective.
Which is probably the sweet spot.
Absolutely. I think it's better than just me being like, I'm relying on my charm. I'm charming.
Right? You know what? I'm relying on overcompensating.
You're so charming and your writing is heaven, Annika.
And you're so overcompensating.
And you're so overcompensating. Yes.
It's great.
To the truth.
Thank God we finally know.
Oh, never.
I just want to ask how we're all feeling about doing our final episode.
Bereft, of course.
I can't quite believe it.
I'm quite excited to go out dancing later and celebrate.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And the full moon.
Yes. Of course we're recording on a full moon.
Yes. We finish on...
Full moon in Virgo.
I know. And look, I don't need any more. I don't need a full moon to charge my Virgo chart. It's Virgo-y enough.
We're very un-Virgo today.
And do you remember?
I'm feeling really good, you know? Yeah. I'm really proud of what we've done.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited to see what everyone has in store in the future and what.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just excited.
If and when we circle back.
Exactly.
Exactly. Very, very proud of it.
But it's very important that we settle some big business.
Oh, yeah.
On this episode.
Absolutely.
Yeah, let's get down to
business. Yeah. Love you all, adore you all, but I will fight you tooth and nail.
Yeah,
fuck you up.
You're going down. I am so underprepared. Oh, boy.
You're going to whip out that charm.
Oh, you better believe it.
So rock, paper, scissors for the beginner.
Okay, but we got to do it Japanese style. So in Japanese, it's janken po.
Jiankimpo, but the same.
Jiankimpo.
But the same.
Yeah, yeah, same, same.
Okay.
Jiankimpo.
Oh, wait.
Fuck.
You win.
Kath wins.
Okay. So I open with.
Can we get a drum roll?
My opening speech. What makes a fuckboy? Is it power? Is it iconicness? Is it deplorability? Immorality? Members of the jury, I believe that it is a powerful mixture of charisma, charm, cruelty, and lightness.
It's and when what? Lightness?
Lightness. It is when we don't even know how much they hurt us that these creatures have the most sway. They leave a legacy.
Mm.
I want to open with my case for the fuck girl.
I hate you.
I actually despise you. That was really good.
Fucking hate you.
God, so, I don't think you've ever been this fit in your life, Kath. Marry me.
You either need to be a lawyer or play a lawyer in a Shonda Rhimes series.
I know.
Absolutely, yes.
Shonda, call me.
Shonda, if you're listening, call me.
I don't know if anyone's ever...
Blow up on my phone. Oh my god! Blow that puppy up!
Oh my god, that's hilarious.
That is hilarious. I can genuinely do, Shonda.
Guys, that is charm. Distracting from a beautiful argument.
Okay, I'm coming in with the fuck girl. I want to make a case for the most deplorable fuck girl we've covered, and perhaps the most dangerous.
Ooh.
Shiv Roy is colder than Lapland on Christmas Day. She's fictional, yes, but her sway goes beyond the fictional world. We root for Shiv. We ride for Shiv. We support Shiv because the people around her are just one stroke worse than she is. Let me tell you about Siobhan Roy.
Oh.
Siobhan Roy tells her husband on the eve of their wedding that she doesn't think she's a good fit for a monogamous marriage. Shiv Roy is annoyed when sweet Tom Montgomery.
You are enjoying this way too much. You need to just be put down a peg.
I'm so here for it. But you do realise because of the nature of your argument, we get to rebuttal.
Sorry, okay, if you want to rebuttal, you can rebuttal. Fine.
Interesting, I like that.
I cannot wait to hear what you come back with.
We're making up the rules as we go
along. So, she's annoyed when Tom Wamsgams doesn't have to go to prison in Series 3. She is over the moon when a colleague is assaulted by her brother because she sees it as a way of getting her foot in the door.
Vicious.
We watch this woman on a Sunday night and we laugh at her jokes. We revel when her husband turns against her. Her husband, the puppy dog of billionaires on television. She's the worst parts of the world. The only saving grace of Shiv is that when Tom fucks her over, it's going to make a great season of telly.
Mm.
For these reasons,
I wish the listeners could see Hannah's face right now.
Hannah's like, absolutely nothing. I will not give you a single thing.
Oh, not a damn thing.
For these reasons, after you've heard my evidence, I'll ask you to crown Shiv Roy and my team as the worst team of fuckboys, girls, and fuckbees. Nice.
Thank you.
Lovely. Lovely stuff.
Oh, is that it?
That's it. That's my opening eye. Okay,
okay. Wait to hear mine. You fall asleep at the mic. It's so long.
Well, up next, how to go football.
Okay. First entry into the Battle of the Fuck Folk. I have the movie star, the West End wonder, the woman with over 5,000 lovers, and that was before she even got married. The one, the only, Tallulah Bankhead.
Of course, of course.
Darling.
Darling.
Episode 9, if you haven't listened. Okay, so...
Very camp flair of the hand.
Oh my god.
Woo,
what
boy.
What a start.
Oh, what a way to kick this off. Beautiful work.
Tallulah Bankhead is alive and well in the world.
Oh, really, really is.
Okay, so first of all, I'm going to describe this woman so you know her fuck girl flavour. Doe-eyed, apple-cheeked, golden hair, gravelly drawl, and a cackle to put Disney villains to shame. This 1920s party girl had the beauty of a Renaissance painting and the personality of a drunken sailor meets drag queen. Her offence? There were many. And they were spectacular.
Evening. Buyer's remorse. Buy a new car? I'll be moving in. Let's get started.
Sorry, I think there's been a mistake. I bought it from Carvana.
You what?
Yeah, great price. I even have 7 days to love it or return it.
So there's no...
No, no buyer's remorse. More like buyer's rejoice.
I guess I'll let myself out. Congratulations. I mean it.
Buyer's rejoice. Buy your car today on Carvana.
Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
Age 15, she sets up camp at a New York hotel where things get exquisitely queer. She finds herself a band of bisexuals.
Oh.
Now, guys, do you remember the two things that Bankhead's father had warned her to avoid when she got to New York?
Alcohol and men.
Thank you.
Yes.
Give and that girl a Barbie doll.
Cocaine and women.
Yeah.
At this, she famously says... She famously said he didn't say anything about women and cocaine.
Heaven.
I mean,
which is how I live my life.
Yes! She should be crowned for her one-liners alone.
Oh, truly. A stan a person who's quippy.
Yes.
A quippy queen.
Yeah.
Yes.
We love quippy.
Tallulah moves to London, and throughout a 10-month run of a play, a group of Tallulah-hungry women gather nightly in the gallery to express their feverish love for her by screaming, stomping, and throwing flowers at the stage. Also, during her 20s, she receives a stupid amount of marriage proposals.
Heaven.
But as the 1920s draw to a close, Tallulah is forced to leave the UK. She's out a dollar from all that champagne and cocaine. Not only that, but the MI5 are after her.
Okay, I didn't remember this.
This takes me to offence number two, and this is bad. Okay. So don't laugh.
Oh, God.
There were
instantly laughing. Oh, no.
There were allegations that Tallulah had sexual encounters with a group of Eton boys at her hotel, which forces her to flee back to the US of A, where things get spicy stateside.
So unlike Tallulah.
So unlike
her. So off-brand.
Spicy.
Offence number three, indecent exposure. Her party trick, if you will. How could we forget?
How could we?
We could not. Joan
Crawford. Goes to one of Tallulah's infamous parties wearing a gold glitter dress.
Yes, it will go down in history.
Tallulah, jealous of Joan's attention, presents herself on her balcony in front
the
of her guests.
Going down.
Completely butt naked, with gold glitter all over her pubic hair, announcing, "Guess who just went down on me?"
Hey!
The most iconic thing I've ever heard in my life.
Truly.
Other things that she does, she gets an STI from all the sex, and it damages her body so badly that she needs a full hysterectomy.
Ooh.
As she leaves the hospital, she says to her doctor, "Don't think this has taught me a lesson."
Oh.
She decides to marry and proceeds to torment her husband by showing everyone his enormous penis.
Oh my God, she does.
She would do like a house tour and go into their room as he slept and present his penis to party guests like it was the Mona Lisa.
Okay, that's savage.
That's a lot.
Like it was the Mona Lisa.
Honestly.
I was going to say her only victim seems to be herself, but you've proved me wrong on this one.
She continues to shag many iconic women. We have Greta Garbo, Marlena Dietrich, Billie Holiday.
Stunning.
She punches a policeman in the face.
As one should
always do. On the set of a Hitchcock movie, she refuses to wear underwear, so every time she has to walk up the ladder to set, she exposes herself to all the sound and lighting men below.
I'm sure they didn't complain, but no, very inappropriate.
All the while, she is killing it on stage and on screen. Things get messy with her heady cocktail of drugs, men, women, alcohol. She burns bright, and eventually she dies of pneumonia, age 66. Her famous last words were a whispered, "Codeine. Bourbon." So,
oh my God,
I put it to you that Tallulah Bankhead is on the winning team, mainly because of all the fucking she did, but also because she gave zero fucks. She is serving us queerness, secret service, flashing, the golden age of Hollywood, glittery pussies, STIs, iconic lines, snorted and said, that cackle, and that incredible talent. She lives on the sweaty stages of drag shows, in the ever-evolving iterations of the iconic Cruella de Vil, and in our hearts.
She does. Thank you for that. Thank you for your argument.
Oh, it was my pleasure. That was the sound of us shaking hands.
What I will say is I am scared and I am nervous, but I am fortunately...
Incredibly charming.
Incredibly fucking charming. So I hear both of your arguments, and they were beautiful and lovely and very, you know, damning, and also built these glorious women up. But I have really built the fundamentals, the basics of my team around the fact that I think the originals are the best, and they've stood the test of time for a reason, right?
Okay.
I want the OG hustlers. I think what makes someone a really, really good fuck person is that they are smarter than everyone who they are fucking with. Okay. They have everyone wrapped around their little finger.
I see where this is going.
Yes. And also, a bit like me, they have to be absolutely fucking dreadful. But with a whole lot of charm. So I put my case to you. We begin with the woman of many names. You may know her as Betsy Bigley, Marie LaRose, the Duchess of Criminality, or most famously, Cassie Chadwick.
Yes, of course.
Yes. She started early. Her rap sheet began being written for her at the age of 14.
It did.
She left no stone unturned on who she fucked over. She literally stole the furniture from her own sister's house and sold it. She had fake identities all over the place, from mind readers to madams.
Heaven.
And also, she conned a total of 3 husbands, which I will say is more husbands than either of you two. Am I right in saying that?
So far,
but
so
we've
far.
Had husbands.
Oh, no, of your fuck girls. Am
oh,
I
she
right?
Brought, yeah, she's on number
I
one.
I think Tanuno
oh,
had one.
Yeah. Well, 3 here.
yeah, but how many lovers did Cassie have?
Yeah.
Oh, that's more important.
What I will say is that she was a very private lady, and she kept that to herself.
Well,
but
that's
I'm
boring.
Sure.
Mm. Millions, billions.
And, you
how
know,
many it, normal human beings yeah. did they get over just purely through their existence? Okay.
Well, what I will say is that she did basically fuck the entirety of Cleveland,
which is impressive,
by creating a financial collapse.
Yeah.
So,
that's pretty intense.
Yeah, that's pretty full on.
That's pretty intense.
So, you know, what do we love about her?
It's a lot.
She stuck it to the whole of Millionaire's Row. She got arrested wearing the iconic money belt with $100,000 in it. Yeah. She manipulated...
I forgot this.
It's so good. I want a fanny pack with $100 million in it. She manipulated her way into getting all her possessions in her jail cell. And quite frankly, the crowning joy, she had an organ made of solid gold.
Incredible.
And that is why I think she is the most iconic... fuck girl
mm-hmm.
we have brought to the table.
Okay. Beautiful.
Interesting.
Beautiful.
Mary.
Wow.
Interesting.
That was improv as its finest.
So do we want to do a zigzag or do we want to do a circle?
I think we need to hear from you, Kath.
Okay, we're going to do a circle.
Ding, 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 round 2.
Ding, 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 round 2. Round 2. So this round is wild card. Mm-hmm. It can be any type of fuck boy. Zombie, soft boy, narcissist, nice guy.
You name it, could be anything.
You name it, could be any of it. I'm going to go with a strange type of fuck boy. Maybe he does yoga.
Oh.
Maybe he's a feminist. Maybe he wants you to be the best version of yourself. My nice guy was beloved by teenagers everywhere. Yes. You're right.
Oh.
It's the biggest heartthrob of 2004.
Eddie C? 2004?
Eddie C. My wildcard draft is Aaron Samuels.
Oh!
Is it yours?
Aaron Samuels?
Yeah, from Mean Girls? Yeah.
I knew it because you were playing that Mean Girls song earlier and I was like, you can't be doing Mean Girls because that is mine!
None of us have covered
Aaron Samuels. I did.
Did you cover?
Well, not in depth.
He was in the basket.
He was in the
covered.
Basket.
We covered.
You know what?
Okay.
Have him.
Thank you.
He's yours.
Thank you. Watch out, world. When you hear the the Mean Girls nostalgia is real. You're a teenager again. And you can see his floppy hair. Yeah. You can see him in the seat in front of you turning around and asking, what's the date?
Yeah.
You can feel the throes of teenage crushdom.
October 3rd.
It could be Aaron Samuels. It could be Austin Ames. It could be Chris Pine in Princess Diaries 2. Mm. Do you remember Austin Ames?
No, who's Austin?
From the a Cinderella story.
Yes. Ooh. Oh boy, that floppy blonde hair. Yay. Oh,
I was obsessed.
Oh,
you
wait.
Dream. Yeah.
Yes.
Hilary
yes.
Duff.
Yes, yes, yes.
What
yes.
a film.
Kissing in the Rain.
Yes. Yes. Waiting for You is like waiting for rain in this drought. What is it? Something and Disappointing.
Yes.
And then it rains.
I don't know.
It was like,
it's so good.
Oh, God. That was a real good time, yeah. wasn't it?
That was 2004. The Notebook.
Jennifer Coolidge.
Cinderella Story. Mm. Princess Diaries 2. Mean Girls.
That's whoa. Good.
Whoa.
Good,
what
good,
was
good,
happening?
Good, 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 good content.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Fucking get that chicklet into my veins.
Yes.
So you dream about a world in which someone like him would fall in love with you and everything would make sense. But Aaron Samuels doesn't make sense. He makes girls fight over him. He says things like, you're better than that. He even called Katie a nerd because she's good at maths.
Oh, and Kat took that fuck out person.
The worst offense.
So upset. Aaron Samuels taught millennials everywhere that the guy you should want to date should be mediocre at best, esteem destroying at worst. He influenced a generation. And that is why he is clearly the pick for Wildcard.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I'm going to... What's the word?
I don't know.
Come
you
back.
Tell us. It is...
Rebuttal?
Fight, but not fight.
Okay.
Rebuttal.
Well, I am going to rebuttal
please
that.
Please do, Catherine.
Orchard.
I'd love to hear.
With my second pick.
Oh, please tell. Pray tell.
With my wild card, the one, the only tortured artist, Lord Byron.
Oh, yes.
Of course.
I'm glad someone is.
Yeah.
Yes.
5'9", club footed.
Oh, yeah.
You'd think this brown-haired smirker wouldn't be a hit with the ladies or the men. Well, let me tell you, Byron got the babes and the boys.
Mm.
He was rampantly bisexual and thought men were cleverer, but women kissed better. Sounds like a fuckboy.
Yes, he really does. Sounds like an
also,
idiot.
Obviously, that's true.
Yeah, that's, yeah, like, that's definitely
Taylor.
True.
In his early years, whilst he was studying at Cambridge, he was told all pet dogs were banned. And he wanted his bulldog, called Smut, by the way, if that doesn't tell you everything you need to know about this man.
Smut.
I don't know what will.
Oh my God, delightful. I'm getting a dog and naming it Smut ASAP.
Oh, I love it.
They refused Smut. And so what did Byron do? He was so annoyed, he brought a bear into the college.
Oh.
A live brown bear.
Beautiful work, lovely
Did
stuff.
He actually?
Yes.
What a deranged man.
Absolutely deranged.
Mm. Icon.
Then, of course, there is his infamous affair with Lady Caroline Lamb.
Oh,
who described him as mad, bad, and dangerous to know. She famously sent Byron a snippet of her bloody pubic hair in a letter signed, From Your Wild Antelope, saying, I cut the hair too close and bled more than you need.
Oh, it's too much, baby. It's too much.
I find blood in sexual
comedy
things
yeah.
a lot.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
A lot.
God.
A lot.
It's like the opposite of me.
And I'm slap bang in the middle. Here we are.
Hello, nice to meet
it's
you.
It's nice to balance each other out, am I right?
She even began dressing as a pageboy, sneaking into Byron's rooms for illicit and, by all accounts, super X-rated after-hours rendezvous.
Mm.
There was a whole drama at a ball where Lord Byron taunted Caroline, egged her on to use a knife she was brandishing, which she ended up using to cut herself on the dance floor.
No, Kazza.
Even for Byron, Kazza was getting too much, and so he made up a string of lies, fled the scene like a true fuckboy.
Mm-hmm.
Lord Bozzle, he gets married, then leaves the marriage a month after his daughter Ava is born. She is just a baby. Do you remember his reason for leaving his marriage? I can't believe
it. Is it his cousin or something?
Oh no, it's worse than that.
His sister.
He is in love with and having an affair with his half-sister Augusta.
Vile.
Okay.
So
fuckboys love incest.
He's
they love
incest.
Famously
yeah.
synonymous
it.
With incest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. By the age of 21, he had raging cases of syphilis and gonorrhea.
Classic. Mm.
Bored with having sex with his sister and banished from England for having bedded everything with a heartbeat in the 48 counties of England, he goes to Venice, where he lives in a palace and writes the poem Don Juan.
Don Juan.
I wonder what the inspiration behind that was. He has more than...
Don Juan.
Cool.
He's like the philandering playboy.
Yes. Mm.
He has more than 200 lovers, spends about £2,500 on sex workers in 3 years, which is, if my calculations are correct, is the equivalent of £90,000. A woman throws herself into the Venetian canal when, after sleeping with her a few times, Lord Byron moves on to his next conquest. Lord B's establishment in Venice consists of 10 horses, 8 enormous dogs, 3 monkeys, 5 cats, an eagle, a crow, a falcon, 5 peacocks, 2 guinea hens, and an Egyptian crane.
You know what? I was on board until you said the Egyptian crane, and now I am out.
This guy is bonkers. He also has a fetish for using skulls as goblets.
Oh my God.
Yeah, a coffin stood at one end of his dining room. Byron's own ancestors' skulls were used as flower pots that lined his walls.
Oh, nice.
He also had a drinking mug made from Armenian monk skulls. Guys.
What a guy.
Drowning in debt, he decides to marry in order to get a dowry so that he can keep on living in luxury. And also waylay the rumours that he is the father of his half-sister's illegitimate child.
Mm. Yeah, because if you marry someone years after, they'll never know.
True.
They'll never know.
Our boy Byron continues to bonk everything within sight. During an affair with an Italian countess, he decides, like a true tortured artist, to go to war in the Greek War of Independence. He's not Greek. Doesn't live in Greece. But he decides he wants to be a war hero. On the battlefield, he contracts malaria and dies aged only 36.
What a life, though.
In the space of 3 decades, my friends. He fucks his way out of family, fortune, and country into Italian back alleys and aristocracies, all the way onto GCSE English lit classrooms, where he haunts the dreams and desires of teenage girls, thrusting the Byronic hero into existence, which birthed many a fuckboy after him, including Dracula, Heathcliff, Edward Cullen.
Yeah.
In many ways, he is the founding father of fuckboyery. His rampant rascal ways live on, and there is no stopping Lord Byron. And that, my friends, is why he is on my team.
Okay.
Thank you for that, actually.
Thank you for that. That was actually a real pleasure.
Thank you.
I will say, I do find if someone is being studied in school, I generally believe that they probably do deserve to be in this circle, and they probably are a hard hitter. I will say I never studied Lord Byron at school.
I didn't.
No. However, I do believe everyone must learn about Tudor England. And that is why I present to you no other than the narcissist himself. Mr. Henry, he's following in the footsteps of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and he is bringing you a lucky number 8.
7, famously a dick. 8, a prick, but it has everything.
Oh, yeah. And once again, I will say, more marriages than both of you two, and quite a lot more. Not to brag, but I really love the idea.
But why is marriage the epitome of fuckboyery? Oh, this is what I don't understand.
Because it is complete commitment and then a huge fuck you.
I really like that I'm pretending in my head that you're not dragging our fuckboys and fuckgirls, that you're dragging us personally having been married.
This is what I keep thinking every time she brings it up.
And I'm really enjoying that from you.
Okay, I'm so sorry, guys. I will say I'm overcompensating for literal content. Okay.
And at the end of the day, the fuckboy speaks for themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
This is incredibly true. So look, there is such a long rap sheet for this dude. Endlessly, we could go on about him. You could study him for multiple years in school and still be unable to recall who died, who was divorced, and who survived. Mm-hmm. Very confusing.
There's that poem, but no one knows it.
Oh, no. Well, we'll come to that.
Okay.
Hang on, just give me a second.
You don't know divorce, beheaded, died, divorce, beheaded, survived. What, you don't know that six-word poem?
I don't. No, I don't.
And the fact that you called it a poem is heaven
to me. It is a poem. It rhymes. Yeah. It fucking rhymes.
It rhymes. It does rhyme.
A poem. So yeah, very long rap sheet. Mainly just the fact that he like tried to do his own little spin on Greensleeves. This dude was a DJ making remixes no one asked for.
Awful, it was even a thing. Yeah, awful.
Awful, straight in just for that.
Is his Greensleeves really bad?
He didn't write it.
No. Wait, are you pretending it? He is.
Just there's a rumour. There's like a big fat rumour.
A cheeky little rumour.
A really naughty rumour that Henry VIII wrote
He didn't write it.
No, but he would definitely like behead that person and take the credit
for it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because he's such a fuckboy and such a narcissist. He did such a host of things. He married his dead brother's ex and then dumped her.
That's just king shit, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, come on. Like, he was barely cold, this brother of his.
You're dead.
Yeah, if you're in the ground, you're in there.
All right, then. He didn't need to dump her afterwards. He could have just, you know, had a nice, lovely marriage. But instead, he dragged her through the dirt, was horrible to her, and changed the whole of religion just to get rid of her.
I'm into that from Henry, actually.
Oh, yeah, because, I actually have that down.
For divorce.
Yeah.
This is true.
Again, as I've always said, a redeeming quality, and that is what makes a fantastic fuckboy. So then he sacks off and I am famously always right. Then he sacks off that second wife he's changed the whole institution of religion for, and claims that she is a six-fingered witch. Which we all aspire to be.
I love that accusation. Yeah,
exactly. Does she have six fingers? Absolutely not. There is no pounding in this, but we'd love to see it. He has almost certainly called every single one of his exes crazy.
Yeah.
He dumped his fourth wife before shagging her because she was too ugly when this man literally had gout and syphilis. I nearly threw up before I said gout.
Henry just coming up from the grave. Choke them!
Yeah, exactly. He married a 17-year-old when he was 50.
Again, ew.
And let's be honest, how good a king could he have been? When he was doing all this shagging.
Yeah.
So once again, I put it to you, he fucked an entire nation. However, redeemingly, he does have a very, very fun rhyme / poem about how he cycled through his six wives. He managed to change an entire religion just to get laid. And also, he gave birth to Queen Elizabeth. Mm. Thank you. The legacy is complete.
Okay, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Okay. Thank you so much for your offering. Mm-hmm. We step into the final round, the completion of our teams, which maybe you missed that moment. the completion of our teams with, obviously, the ultimate fuckboy.
The ultimate fuckboy.
Ultimate fuckboy. Go! It's a Yu-Gi-Oh card.
Ultimate fuckboy. Ultimate.
Just Gollum suddenly in the room.
Can you guys all do that?
Not with the skill that you have shown, Hannigan.
It's good skills.
Skill remarkable.
Skills with a Z.
So my fuckboy, my ultimate fuckboy, has a name synonymous with fuckboy.
Oh!
His legacy precedes him. No, not that one.
You mean the fuckboy that is synonymous?
Lothario? No one's covered him.
Don Juan.
No. we'll get to that.
A name synonymous with fuckboy. His legacy precedes him. Listen to my gambit.
Okay, go again.
The name is synonymous with fuckboy. His legacy precedes him. He is himself a legend. The four letters B-O-N-D. Strike a match in the hearts of fuckboys everywhere.
Boner.
Those letters take the fuckboys by the hand and say, follow me. A man who made Playboy mainstream. A man who made killing cool. There is no other choice but him. He is, of course, James Bond.
Dun, Oh, wait, I was going, what's this? I was like, done. Oh, I was about to sing Jaws. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun,
dun, dun,
I don't want to be. I don't want to be cute. I want to be scary.
Yeah. Scary, so scary.
He is, of course, James Bond. There is no other choice but him. His years of fuckboyery are unimportant when placed against the myth of him. His single axe fade into the background. He's more than a man. He is a way of life.
You win. You win. This is passion in my whole entire life.
He is the only pick that could possibly make sense for the ultimate fuckboy crown. He defines everything my team stands for. The tale that has sprung up around him has made faults seem faint. He is the ultimate fuckboy.
Okay.
But he's not real.
Just no, saying, he's a man, he's a myth, he's a legend.
Yeah, but he's not a actually concept. Real.
No, but he's a legacy of fuckboyery.
He's inspired a host of future fuckboys, to be fair.
He's inspired.
And what I will say is, because I am actually helping Kath, it goes to show how much I back my own team to know that I will still win.
Okay. But actually, you'll notice none of mine are real.
No,
that,
I did notice
my
that.
Friends, is the power of storytelling.
Oh my God. Through her hairband, up in the air.
Oh, lovely. A flare.
Wow.
You're welcome, please. I give it to
you. Oh, was that the end?
The defendant. Yeah. That was it.
Oh, okay.
I told you mine was short, sweet, snappy. Got every single thing they could possibly ever need in them. Passion.
They speak for themselves, in fact.
Okay. Right. Well, just settle down.
Okay.
But
okay.
We all
know what's coming.
Mm-hmm. Final fuckboy. We have the reprehensible Russian renegade, Rasputin!
Yes, of course you do!
Some lovely, lovely alliteration.
Oh, gorgeous.
Wow. How does he look? He's tall. He's skinny. He's a gangly guy. He follows a rigid diet. He is wiry. He has an electricity to his movements, long straggly hair and beard, greenish-grey eyes that are set deep into his skull. He is famous for his penetrating gaze.
Yeah. Oh, I bet he is.
He always appears shaggy.
And it wasn't him. It wasn't him.
You've had penetrating. You've had shaggy.
And he attributes his poor hygiene to be instrumental to his holiness. Wow.
That was beautiful.
He walks around Russia, spewing the Bible, having abandoned his wife and three tiny children. Until he arrives at St. Petersburg.
Oh, yes.
A man he encounters at court describes him as smelly.
Smelly. Not smelly, Pattinson.
Like a goat. And that his breath smelled foul. A lot of people are appalled by his unhygienic appearance, and many describe him to have teeth like blackened stumps.
Oh, that's
it's tiny little teeth.
So while at court, Rabbi Rasputin, the Tsarinas fall in love with this stinky man, as he claims to have godlike power.
Stinky man.
That will cure anyone he touches.
In one whiff.
Do I smell a goat man or a spiritual fuckboy? I think it's both.
Oh, I thought it was meant to be ultimate, but okay.
Sure. Oh, sorry. Yeah, I mean the ultimate, yes. But he's also a spiritual fuckboy.
Yes.
Hundreds of women, from sex workers to high-ranking aristocrats, flock to his apartment. There is drunken revelry, partying, beatings, violent sex, and orgies masked as religious experience that last until sunrise and beyond.
And they are there to worship.
Worship. Worship that pickled pea.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
One woman claims to have had such an intense orgasm that she faints. Rasputin calls himself the Holy Star. Ooh. And he urges women to try the flesh as he whips them into sexual...
Sorry, what does he do? He
whips them into sexual, spiritual ecstasy.
Oh my God.
Some men even send their wives or daughters in order to get a good word from them at court. Wow, this guy. And his prize? Sex. Lots and lots of sex. Mm. All the while,
we don't say sex on this podcast.
Yeah, we do not.
All the while, he is still married, my people. And has three tiny children.
tiny ones. They're all so small.
Yeah, so small.
They've actually never grown up.
His long-forgotten daughter writes in her book, his female devotees were drawn to the worship of his phallus, endowing it with mystical qualities as well as sexual ones, for it was an extraordinary member indeed. Measuring a good 13 inches when fully erect.
That's horror show,
that's
that is.
That's nearly a foot.
That's from his daughter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good source.
Yep.
Famously abandoned by him.
Yes.
Well,
daddy issues, am I right?
Am I right?
He is using his sway over the Tsars to gain political power while driving the Romanovs to ruin. Mm. Everyone wants him dead. An old peasant woman. She knifes him in the tummy, believing him to be the Antichrist.
Not in the tummy.
But of course, this death-defying dickhead survives.
Death-defying dickhead, that's so good.
Not even cyanide can kill this man.
Oh, beautiful.
Not a single thing. When he is lured into a basement with poison-laced cakes and wine, one of the hopeful murderers had prepared each dose of cyanide so that every dose was strong enough to kill several men, and yet he stands.
Yes.
He was then shot in the head. Guess what, guys? Still didn't kill him. He lunges at his attempted murderer, snarling like an animal, digging his fingernails into his neck. Mm. Rasputin crawls his way to the palace's courtyard before being shot many a time and collapsing into a snowbank. But, my friends, his spirit lives on.
And though his body will decay, his spirit lingers on. That's a Harry Potter reference.
When Aragog dies. Sometimes. So Rasputin's daughter, on the hunt for her father's remaining limbs, finds a group of women in Paris who have been worshipping her father's penis.
Gorgeous. Mm.
They believe it can bestow fertility, handing out small pieces to those in need.
So creepy.
They keep it preserved in an icebox, which is a nice little touch.
Oh yeah.
The wrinkly specimen makes its way to a museum, a hideous hunk of graying flesh suspended in a jar of formaldehyde where it still remains.
Oh, God.
Rasputin. He fucked Russia, literally and politically. He fucked me over when I studied him in high school history class. Never been the same since. And he's fucking people over still with his pickled penis burned into the memories of phallus fanatics and innocent museum goers alike. He is fucking up children in the 90s animated movie Anastasia. He was fucking the earholes of our parents in the 70s with his original namesake song. And he is fucking our earholes now with the hit 2021 remix of Boney M's song, Rasputin.
Yes. Mm.
He will forever be the lover of the Russian queen and the ugliest man to ever be crowned a sex icon. He is Randy Rasputin, and he is on my team. Beware of his breath, beware of his gaze, and above all, beware of his 13 inches.
Oh.
Its reach is far.
Beautiful.
Lovely.
Thank you so much.
Beautiful work. Lovely arguments, both of you.
Thank you.
What I will say is, Rasputin, what an icon. Oh my gosh. Love, love, love. Love his spiritual work. Stunning. Bond, beautiful, truly an icon. Those fast cars, that shooting, that, you know, working for the government thing, both of those, awesome. What I will say is about my fuckboy, what is he known for? Literally being a fuckboy.
Which one? I feel like there's quite a few of
those. Oh, sorry.
Don Juan.
Oh.
Was it? Lothario is the other one. There's just so
synonymous
many.
With,
There's just so many. There's so many.
I believe if a man wants to portray himself as someone who does well with the ladies, mm-hmm. someone who can turn any of them to his whim. Yeah.
They call them a cassava, right? Like the chip. No?
A cassava?
Cassava?
Oh, God bless.
Like, no.
No. God bless. They call themselves a Casanova.
Oh, I knew it was something like that.
Oh,
something.
Yes. A Giacomo Casanova, okay. Yeah. They do. So what I will say is, just for all of my team, they are kind of all known for just like taking down.
Oh, yeah, Cassie Chadwick's so famous.
No. Did I say famous or did I say known for?
Sorry.
If you could just listen sorry. Next time. Okay, maybe pay attention now. So, Rapshi, listen up. There's a lot. And we used 2 episodes to get through it.
We did.
I'm going to keep it short and sweet now. I'm just going to say...
But that's only because you did too much research.
Oh, that is. Yeah, so very true. Look, how many times can you get kicked out of a country? Apparently, a lot, if you are
Casanova. Incredible.
I would argue that it is incredibly difficult to facilitate taking one out of their religion, someone who is dedicated and married to God, perhaps stealing the virginity of a nun. Never mind courting a nun through another nun, then fucking both of those nuns, and then getting those nuns to fuck each other. Yes, very, very good work. And really just a host of other really fucked up sexploits, like a makeshift abortion scheme and maybe sleeping with his own daughter to get her pregnant. I mean, astoundingly bad business.
Giving me Byron vibes.
Yeah, truly is.
Yeah, vibes.
However, did Byron go to uni at 11, get a handjob at 12, and then a law degree at 17? I don't think so. And also... Can I just say that this is a multifaceted man? He was with said handjob giver at her deathbed, thanking her, holding that hand, gripping it tightly and going, best hand shandy of my life.
What a handjob. Oh my God, truly. Imagine being like years after your first ever handjob.
A handjob
like,
wow, as well. Yeah.
That was the best I ever had.
I mean, how good can they get?
Yeah, pretty fucking good. Look, what I will say is, he speaks for himself. He lost his virginity in a threesome. He broke out of a prison in an iconic way with an iconic pasta dish.
That is true.
And he managed to convince a lady with the surname Egg that he could plant her soul into the body of a small baby boy. What more could you say about the charm of a man like that? I give you the ultimate fuckboy, Casanova.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Shaking hands.
Shaking hands, so lovely much. Bit of business.
We've forgotten how to shake hands.
I forgot how to do it.
Thank
you. Please, we will leave this one now up to you to decide.
The fate of our gorgeous
listeners.
Oh,
really? Are we not?
Yes. No, we're not deciding.
Because
this
we would all just back ourselves.
100%.
Sorry.
No one here is not proud enough to not be like, no, I will die on this hill.
But everyone would die on this hill.
It's obviously me.
No, it's obviously me.
So sweet, guys. God bless. We'll let the listeners decide. I know that my argument speaks for itself.
But that's not fair because Hannah has loads of followers.
Oh, well, sorry. Also, I'm smarter and just better at arguing
with you. No, we leave it to the listeners. You can bring in as many people as you want. You can text your friends and ask them to
you can
vote.
Phone a friend, 50-50.
It'll be like the crisp challenge on that. Is it Mob Kitchen that does like the Battle of the Crisps and the Battle of the Cereals? Just me.
Niche ref.
Never heard of reference. Mob Kitchen.
So, I believe... To close this out, we've been doing this podcast since August and we've been talking about it and writing about fuckboys for coming up to 2 years.
Yes.
There have been revelations, so much joy and so much laughter, and we're so honoured that you've been with us on the journey.
Yes.
We thought we'd close out with some of our favourites and some of our least favourites.
Mm.
So I would just like to ask you guys a few questions. What shows are you watching? One show, quick round.
The Dropout.
On Disney Plus with Amanda Seyfried playing Elizabeth Holmes. I think that's her name.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah. I've just started watching the Andy Warhol documentary.
Oh, mentally amazing.
Yeah, emotional.
just finished Yellow Jackets. Definitely watch it if you can.
Also watch Turning Red.
Yes.
So good.
What films are you watching? Film?
I'm going to watch Fresh on Disney Plus. I'm excited to see Sebastian Stan again.
Yeah.
After he spoke to his own
penis.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
I know.
Yes, so much. I know. Incredible.
Apparently they're together.
Are they?
Yeah.
Ooh.
This is the rumour on the street.
Oh my gosh. Would not surprise me. Also freaks me out. Who's being great at acting right now? Sebastian Stan, I think, is being quite good. But
I've got to say, Amanda Seyfried is absolutely incredible in The Dropout.
Mm. Yeah, she is. I've watched the first episode.
I'm trying to think what I've watched, which I've really enjoyed.
Hannah van der...
Susan? Do you know who I love? I've actually also started watching Dope Sick. And
yes.
What's her name?
Yeah, Caitlin Dover.
Amazing.
Yeah, amazing.
Absolutely incredible. So talented. What song are you listening to?
Oh, I mean, it's always going to be my favourite song in the whole entire world, which is I'm Just a Gigolo by Louis Prima.
Oh, oh my God, so good.
It's my top song.
Bunny is a Rider, Caroline Polachek. Is that how you say it?
I don't know.
Well.
I've never heard of this.
Oh, it's a tune.
It is a tune. I've been listening to an artist, Tisha, amazing. And then I'm obsessed right now with... Sad Girls Love Money. Obsessed.
Oh, iconic.
Absolutely
name.
Obsessed.
Oh, also.
So good.
The other night, last night, I found out about this artist called K Riz.
Ooh.
Favourite song? Big Slosion Energy.
Yes.
So good.
Maybe we'll share a podcast with you guys to keep you missing us. What's like reality TV? Good shows? Anything for the.
No, I'm still recovering from Love is Blind Japan.
I'm still recovering from Love is Blind.
I'm still recovering, however, it's only a matter of time because, look, I'm so excited to be part of something.
Oh.
Once again, I'm waiting, I'm holding out for Love Island.
Oh my God, I cannot wait. It's only just around the corner
the
now.
The sun came out and I went, Love Island time.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was like, there's two seasons, Love Island and not.
Mm-hmm.
We're about to enter Love Island. Culture to check out in London. Have you seen anything cool recently?
Exhibition at the Barbican's
Yes.
Breaks.
Yeah, there's a...
Out and about?
Yeah.
Oh, God. No, I've been such a recluse.
No, absolutely fine. I've been a recluse as well. No,
nothing.
Nada.
Niente.
Not a single thing. But out and about. We love. So, final question. Three. We love to discuss them.
Oh, we do.
All we ever want to do is talk about them. What, my beautiful friends... Oh, your current biggest icks.
Oh my gosh, so excited.
Cannot wait.
Okay, I will say that all of mine are new because they all happened to me.
Oh my God, give them.
If this happened to a man, or if a man was doing this, I'd be sick. I would ick. Firstly, bending over to pick up dog poo. Absolutely not.
It has to be done though.
Oh, I know it does, but just
but
like
so embarrassing.
Do you know what else? I'm also imagining that they aren't bending their knees.
Yes. You want to bend the knee.
Yeah, they've got jeans on and they're too tight.
Yeah. And then you see the arse crack.
Yeah. Oh. The second thing, having a bath but not quite fitting in it.
Oh my God.
Such
a
mick.
Hilarious.
And number three. Wearing nothing but a t-shirt, but it's just a little bit too small for them, so they look like Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, is that too short in the body?
Yep, too short in the body. Round belly. No pants.
Oh my God, incredible. Okay, my ick has to be being too big for the bed.
Okay, you do yours. Okay, well, I actually just had an icky situation yesterday.
Okay.
I was on the top...
Yeah, go on.
Deck of the bus, thank you. Kath.
Wow, that was amazing. Hanako was literally just splaying her hand around and Kath somehow knew.
She knows. I was on the top deck of a bus and there's no space anywhere. So I sit down next to a guy. I don't want to, but I do because I have to. 2 minutes later.
He puts his hand on your knee.
Is this the famous Oxford Street?
Stranger?
What, they wanted you to be a tour guide?
Oh, God.
He went on to ask me about 100 questions about London, asking me how people got from A to B in London, if lots of people rode bicycles or not, all of these bizarre questions.
Don't ask me a single thing.
I put my earphones in
oh, no,
to tell him to fuck off. He
he asks me questions still. He's like, oh, sorry, you've got your earphones in. I was like, what?
He doesn't. He's not from England. He's not from London. He doesn't understand that earphones in means shut the fuck up.
He gets to the point where I actually have to get up and sit in front of the seat in front of him because he is, like, essentially harassing me.
Yes, that isn't it. Harassment.
Harassment. Harassment. Don't try it.
No, but what's so icky about that situation is that you feel bad because you feel like you're not being kind to this person who is actually just, you know, like trying to make conversation because they're lonely and living in London and, you know, they're from another country. But I don't want to talk to you, strange man.
No. And also, a lack of awareness of what it is to be a man and the power that holds and how intimidating it can be.
Thank you.
And also, he was manspreading.
Oh, come on.
So I was on the edge of my seat.
Yes.
And I quote, I'm going to a comedy club in Angel and then we're going to go partying in Shoreditch.
Oh, nice, that's nice.
Sorry, I was just sick in my mouth.
That was an ick.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
That was an ick.
Catherine, take us home.
Okay, couple of icks. People who go to like event evenings in London. So like
I do that all
no
the time.
But like as in like they go to Bally Ballerson Bounce
yes
things like that. Ick.
What the hell is Bally Ballerson and Bounce?
Bally Ballerson is a giant ball pit. Bounce is play ping pong.
ping pong in itself, also ick. An ick.
Yeah.
Just play the darts,
flight club. Yeah. Ick. If people got to, I mean I've been to them myself.
Darts, if it's just at a pub, is quite cool.
Yeah, darts at a pub, cool.
Yeah.
Also,
dart-themed bar for the evening, ick.
What about Laser Quest?
Mini golf.
Fucking cool.
Yeah, okay.
Mini golf.
Got you.
Depends on the person.
If it's junkyard, not fucking cool. You give me the ick.
Mini golf in the day, cool. Mini golf at night, nuh-uh.
Crazy golf.
Always.
Again, in the day. It's day and night. Yeah. It's day and night.
It's day and night situation.
Yeah, if you're doing any of those things at night, fucking gross. Someone's feet hanging out of the bed.
Yeah, being too big for the bed.
I don't mind that.
But imagine their feet and they've got socks on.
Oh no, what if they have socks off and long toenails?
Do you know what? It's because my dad's feet would always hang off the bed with socks on. So to me, it's just quite
a sweet old man.
Yeah.
Daddy issues, John Powell.
Hello. Thank you. Sign me up.
Any others?
Any more?
Well, obviously singing.
Oh yeah, singing gross. Singing with your eyes closed.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely.
Fake yawning.
Singing a song that you have written. Vile.
Yeah.
Vile.
What
vile,
if you're
vile,
a singer-songwriter though?
Get a deal, record it in a booth. Otherwise, get me out of there.
Really?
Yeah. And do not... No, I don't know. There's a line and I don't know what
there's a line and what I will say is it's been crossed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what I will say is it's been crossed too many goddamn times.
Yeah, I feel you.
Any more? I mean, God, we could go on forever. We'll leave you with this cliffhanger.
I would like to ask one final question.
Please.
For our dear listeners who would like to continue dipping into our lives, where can we find you? What are you up to next? What's the vibe?
You can find me, Catherine Orchard, on Instagram. You can message me.
Send me a cheeky DM.
Send me a DM about funny fuckboy stories.
Oh my God, always and forever.
Always and forever.
Yeah.
At fun queer events, hanging about London.
Absolutely.
Doing fun things, making friends, enjoying life.
Being a delight.
Yeah, that's where you'll find me.
Beautiful.
What about you guys?
You can find me, Hannah VDW, on the old gram. And then I believe it's Hannah Van der Vestasen on TikTok. And what I will say is I don't post, but if you want to tag me in anything, I'm inevitably going to be on there scrolling for the rest of my days. Thank you. It's been lovely knowing you all. I will see you in cyberspace.
See you in the metaverse.
Winks.
And yeah, Winks season 2. You can catch this... This guy on there in season 2.
And we don't know when that's coming out yet.
Yeah, later this year. I honestly don't know. We'll tell you. I don't know.
Don't know. Wow. And you can watch season 1. It's on Netflix.
That too.
Anything else coming out?
What about Sandman.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
Going to be in that. And another film in which I do a very bad Italian accent called Lamborghini.
Oh, my God. Yes. I was wondering when that
would
come out.
Good luck. Enjoy that Dolmio day.
Gorgeous.
And I am at Hanako Footman on Instagram. Written a book, should be coming out maybe next year. Let's see.
Yes.
Hopefully, fingers crossed. And that is it. And I'll be out and about being a human being, loving life and making adventures.
Yes, absolutely. Love you guys.
Love you guys. We love you
guys.
Love you.
Thank you so much for being on this wild ride with us. Mm. We couldn't have done it without you.
Yes.
And massive thanks, obviously, always to Audioboom.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.